How the Principles of Adventure Yield Profitable Investment Results, featuring Keith Fitzgerald on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals, and on this episode, I'm making success simple with my interview about how the principles of adventure yield profitable results with investment analyst Keith Fitzgerald. Let's pick up where we left off last week with my question to him regarding how to identify when we need to make a strategy change.
That's like a square peg in a round hole. Doesn't work.
Okay, so you brought up a good point. So how do we know when it's time in our lives to change our investment strategy? Obviously, when we're young, we're invincible. We want to go fast. So how do we start identifying those trading or investing transitions to become a better investor and be consistent with what's important to us?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. There's I think, a number of things. You know, one of the things I've learned to do over the years is pay attention to how I'm feeling physically about something. You know, if, for example, I'm losing sleep or I'm antsy, I've probably got too much risk on the table. George Soros, who's a billionaire, love him or hate him, he says his back hurts if he makes a bad trade. So there's lots of little signals inside your biofeedback mechanism that we don't simply associate with money, but are there. And again, you know, having done this day in, day out for 37 years, you know, I'm pretty tuned into it. The average investor isn't. So, you know, if you find yourself having more discussions with your spouse or your significant other about whether or not something's right, that's a warning sign. If you're losing sleep, that's a warning sign. If you're investing money that you could not live without if you lost it all, that's a warning sign. Mm-hmm. There's some things that are pretty darn plain common sense that tell you whether you're getting over the edge. And when you're young and invincible, and in my case, stupid, you know.
I did that too, though.
Yeah, I mean, we
not all alone.
Yeah, anybody who says they haven't made investing mistakes is lying out unmentionable parts of their body, because we've all done it. You know, and my point is, over time, we naturally are programmed to become, hopefully, a little wiser, but also more conservative. Okay. And again, you know this instinctively. This is not something we have to spend a lot of time on. You know, for example, when I was young, I used to hang out with a lot of the special warfare guys, and our idea of fun would kill most people. You know, we would regularly rappel and climb and swing from things and jump off things and, you know, go crazy and do a lot of wild things. We drive fast, we played hard. But as I'm getting older, I'm figuring, you know what? Maybe that's not such a great idea anymore. I'm gonna enjoy my time, and I've naturally dialed it back. And again, when it comes to your money, no different. You naturally dial that back because you go from being a hunter and a gatherer to more of a preserver. There's a point I want to add to that. And again, this is something, having dealt with hundreds of thousands of investors over the last 10 years alone, the presupposition in today's markets, based largely as a function of computerization, social media, interaction with other people, is that you need to be faster and more detail oriented than ever before. The reality of the situation is that's absolutely not true. The most successful investors and traders I know are those that can simplify things down to their basic elements. They're folks who can step back, who can take a deep breath, who don't have to worry about it. And you know, here's sort of a real life example of this. If you look at the science of complexity and you study the patterns of human behavior, if you go into a crowded auditorium or a movie, and they've done lots of studies in this, a movie theater, for example, and you have everybody seated in the audience, and somebody yells fire, 98% of the people are going to run for the same door, even though there's six or eight doors around the theater.
Right.
And what scientists have determined is that it depends on who moves first and which direction that individual goes. And so if the individual goes down to the door on the right, everybody goes down to the door on the right. you know, most people do anyway. And so investing is the same way. Herd mentality is very, very real. And just because we have all that information out there doesn't mean you need to be that detail oriented. In fact, the more successful investors are going to be the ones who can step back and see that there are other exits. There are other four trees in the forest. So right now, being successful, especially in a post-COVID environment, to me, comes down to, am I lined up with the right trends? Do I have the best companies? Because the rest aren't going to matter or make it. And do I have my risks under control? And beyond that, I really don't care. It's going to be simple for the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's not anybody who's getting wrapped up in this day-to-day frenzy, just I think is going to have a bad, unfortunate ending.
So, well, now that you brought up the post-COVID environment, what is your take on what's going to be happening in the marketplace? I mean, I know personally here, several of my entrepreneur friends have just, they're not coming back. They're closing their doors. They're like, you know what? It's time to make a new decision. And so they're closing up shop. You know, a lot of people are being, you know, laid off or fired. And it's a curious climate. You know, I'm watching other markets too, because real estate is one of my big investment arenas. And I'm seeing people still buying and selling. And, you know, and the pace really hasn't changed. And pricing hasn't changed yet. We haven't seen a price movement yet. What are you thinking is going to happen in this post-COVID investment world?
Well, I obviously have to give that a lot of thought with what I do on television, the investments I'm involved in, you know, the trading that I do on a daily basis. I think that there's going to be some very clear winners and some very clear losers. I think this is an environment where you invest in or buy the best and you ignore the rest. This is not an environment where you index, for example, mm-hmm. you know, because if you're going to buy an index fund or you're going to buy an ETF that tracks the S&P 500, you know, you might do okay, but you're going to have to sweep in a lot of the trash in order to find the cash. And that to me is problematic because many, for example, of the great retailers are going to disappear. They're never going to return. Maybe 2 in 5 restaurants are going to go out of business forever. We have people who are going to be laid off that are never going to return to work. And that's the very human cost of COVID that I think has not been factored into the headlines. It's very unfortunate mm-hmm. because this is going to create a societal trauma that is going to be with us for the next 100 years. And people are going to talk about having survived pandemic one, you know, which is a term I think Bill Gates used, but it's that's how deeply this is going to scar the psyche. You know, the great financial crisis of 8 and 9, you know, so what? That's a big bank issue. That's what? This is very human. This came all the way home.
Right.
And so to me, you know, from an investment perspective, once you get through the human cost and you get past the layoffs, you get past all those things, you know, I don't have the luxury as chief investment officer of you know, injecting my personal sentiment onto that. What I have to do is chart a path through this for our folks and our clients and readers and viewers all over the world, is I have to find a way through that. To me, it's certain kinds of technology, and that's the companies like the Apples and the Microsofts of the world. That's not the one and dones like Zoom, for example. Video conferencing is a dime and a dozen, even though we're using Zoom. Disney's getting into it, Apple's getting into it, Google's got it, Microsoft Teams are coming on. So, you know, that's going to be a commodity at some point. But technology itself, you know, one of the things that hasn't hit the headlines yet is all of the scams and the theft that will occur when customers who are now suddenly putting their entire lives online are hacked and it's stolen. So to me, security companies are going to be one of the great winners in the next 5 to 10 years. Certain medical companies that are developing not only vaccines, but things beyond that. So for example, Gilead is in the press because of the Remdesivir, and I can't ever get that pronunciation correct, but it's treatment related to the COVID. But in reality, they've got one of the largest HIV drugs out there. They've got Humira out there. They've got a number of other things out there that possibly make them the largest medical drug provider by 2024, 25. So, you know, is that company expensive? Not in 5 years, probably. You know, same with Amazon. Now, you know, Amazon, I think, for example, has got some cracks in its armor as a result of COVID. They came into this as the heroes, and the stock is being bid up. But you know, we're seeing delivery problems. We're seeing, you know, we've had friends order one thing, get another. We've had friends order something, cancel it, and get two of it the next day. You know, there's logistics challenges. However, you know, they're also sitting on billions of dollars in cash. So, you know, is it Amazon that's going to win, or is it somebody tied into Amazon? I don't know. But either way, that's a company you're probably going to be kicking yourself in the rear end if you don't own it in 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, or at least a few shares here and there. Again, people tell me it's expensive, and it, whatever it is, $2,300 a share. Yeah, it is. But you can still buy one share, two shares, three shares.
Yeah, start with something.
Yeah, I mean, just get your toes wet. Mm-hmm. You know, and then finally, unfortunately, war, terrorism, and ugliness is going to be a resurgent investment category, in my opinion. I think that this is going to stress the geopolitics of our planet, and many of the big defense companies that came into this situation strong are going to emerge even stronger, because none of that spending is going to stop. In fact, it's probably going to accelerate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately. But as we're talking about technology and where we're going and where we're headed, I'd like to circle around to your soon to be released technology, because, yep, you know, we've talked about principles of investing. We've talked about the why and how to break down investments, but now we need to talk, and we've talked about pacing too. Like, so how, yep, do I know when I need to change? How do I know, yep, when I need to get out?
Yep.
Resources. Okay, so you mentioned information overload, and I think about that. I think about how we have this technology in our lives that's supposed to help us and make our lives easier, but yet we're spending even more and more time, and then we're getting, you know, information
worst results. Yeah.
You know, and so here to save the day with information overload, because I don't have, and it's, I don't have 37 years of investing experience, and everybody looks to me because, well, I have this show, and I used to be a stockbroker in the 90s, but I was just, you know, a telemarketer. That's all that a stockbroker was back then, was you were a glorified telemarketer. You had to pass the test, yeah, and you got bigger commissions, but essentially I didn't pick the stocks. I just sold what I was told to sell. This is hot today. Blow the doors off of this one. Okay. That's what it is. But you now, and I had resources then, and I didn't even bother using them. I'm like, whatever. I'll let somebody else pick them. I'll just sell them. So, yeah, so people are busy. People are stressed. People are trying to find jobs, but they also need a plan for their future. They don't want to give that part up, and they don't want to have to deal with that fight of, you know, identifying, is this physical discomfort because I'm investing improperly, or is it just like the clams I had last night?
Right. You know,
so how, what kind of resources are available to help us separate the wheat from the chaff? And I think you,
well,
have,
you know, funny enough, yes, I have been working on something like that, because, you know, investors have two problems. Number one, it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, what you are doing. Investors have a hard time finding the best stocks to buy and distilling those down from the tens of thousands that are out there. And two, they have no idea which tools to use and how to make good decisions. So what I have done is I have started a financial technology company designed specifically to distill all of that information down to a single, understandable, actionable score that can instantly help any investor find, buy, and deal with great stocks. Now, well, a lot of people talk about how to do that. They're like, well, how are you going to do that? What is that? And well, the answer is I'm taking technical information, fundamental information, and artificial intelligence I've been working on for nearly 30 years to combine that in again, a very simple, easy to understand, single score rating that can save you time, give you a proven approach, and which has the documented resource of having outperformed the markets. So you can, you know, nothing's perfect. There's probably going to be some screw ups, especially now that I'm talking about it. But the point is, you know, it's a tool that the average investor can use to simplify their life It will allow them to compete head to head with Wall Street and the best quants they've got. And that's important to me.
Well, and you missed the most critical piece of this. You've got 37 years of learning what not to do
as an investor.
And people always talk about successes, but even Michael Jordan missed more than he made. But that's where I think the lessons in life aren't always in these successes, because then you can go out and duplicate it. It's where did I go wrong and learn from it? And my guess is that you've been able to distill down what's important after 37 years when you decide.
Well, yeah, and to your point, having made plenty of mistakes. I mean, you know, that's why I have no hairs. You know, I've run into the wall, I've ground myself in the grid. It's, you know, if there's a mistake in the book, chances are I've made it. And, you know, then that's a very, very important point that we don't often talk about as investors. You know, you need to understand that you're gonna make mistakes. And the sooner you learn to deal with those as tuition and not a setback, the more profitable you're going to be. And, you know, again, that comes down to some of the interest that I've gotten over the years. You know, a lot of the special warfare guys that I hang out with, Navy SEALs in particular, you know, they have a saying, the only easy day was yesterday. And when they are faced with seemingly impossible tasks, like a run at midnight after you've been in the surf for 5 hours and you have to carry this stupid 800-pound boat or a log, or, you know, you have to maneuver your unit through hostile fire, all of which time you're getting shot at, you know, you put one foot in front of the other and you concentrate on the next step and the next step and the next step. You never think about the goal or the end unit or this. It's always that next step. And sooner or later, you've taken enough steps to accomplish your objective. And, you know, that to me, again, is from an investing standpoint, people always want to hit the home runs. What they don't understand about baseball or any other sport is it's the small plays that actually win the game. You know, Babe Ruth is regarded today as one of the greatest home run hitters of all time. But very few people know that back in his day, when he was alive, he was known as the strikeout king.
And see, and that just, you know, speaks to that point that you miss more than you make.
Right.
And even, you know, along the way in the education sense.
Exactly. And so, you know, again, from an investing standpoint, people want to hit the home run all the time.
Right.
No, you're going to get the home runs. They'll happen, but concentrate on the singles and doubles. And whenever I'm working with, for example, a new investor, or I'm talking with a trader or whatever, you know, they always say, well, how can I get these huge profits? And I say, well, forget about the huge profits. Can you take $25 a day out of the market consistently? I'm like, well, that's so small. And I said, no. Answer the question. Can you do it? Because if you can't get $25 a day out of the market with something you own, then I would submit you're not prepared to scale that up. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, even my youngest son, for example, I've trained him to trade, he's fortunately got better instincts than I ever will. But, you know, that was one of the fundamental lessons he had to learn was, you know, Dad, I see you doing all these great things. I'm like, yeah, how many times did I screw up before I got here?
Yeah.
So we put him on the plan of, don't worry about the big runs, you know, get that $25 a day, get that $30 a day. Once you start learning to do that, then the next goal is 75, then it's 100, then it's 1,000, then it's 2,000. And, you know, when you get out there, for example, and are running institutional money, and you're trading with billions of dollars.
Yeah.
You can take your attention off the zeros. It doesn't matter because the principles are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's all about the idle speed figure eights.
Learning how to maneuver that motorcycle. And, you know, even there, Heather, one last point on the motorcycles, right? So if you ride a modern motorcycle today, they are equipped with slipper clutches and anti-lock brakes and launch control. And I mean, you're riding a computer with wheels. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of those bikes. But when I step onto one of the antiques, you really have to pay attention to what you're doing and you really have to ride it. You can't be mentally divided or else either you're going to come off the bike, you're going to crash, you're going to have a bad ending. So when you step onto an antique bike, there are no synchro meshes. There are no computer controls. There are no anti-lock brakes. So you've got to really pay attention to the environment around you. And, you know, from an investing standpoint, you know, as a matter of fact, when we're finished today, that's where I'm going, is I'm going to go out and hop on one of those bikes, because when I want to clear my head, that's a great way to do it, because I have to be 100% in the moment or something bad is going to happen. So when I come in tomorrow, I'm clean. I've got my head together. I'm ready to go with whatever the market brings.
Well, that's so exciting. Thank you so much for being a part of the show and coming on and sharing all of your great wisdom. It's been so much fun.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope your viewers find it valuable. I mean, I'm just the guy that puts his shoes on like everybody else, but I've had the good fortune to achieve some remarkable things, and you're very kind for having me on.
Well, you've figured out a few things, and I am grateful that you decided to share them with us. If folks want to find out more about what you do and about the upcoming release of the software, how do folks find you?
The best way, thank you very much for asking, is to go to Fitzgerald Research Analytics. Now, my name, Fitzgerald, has an unusual twist. It's a hyphen between Fitz and Gerald. So it's Keith Fitz hyphen Gerald, researchanalytics.com, or they can just find me on Twitter, which is @Fitz_Keith. And hey, you, there I am, and we'll respond.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear, unlockyourwealthtoday.com is here, where you can visit Keith's show page, get the links to all of his great resources, social media, and so much more. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.UnlockYourWealthToday.com.